Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. I have a very special program for you today, one that is kind of up with the times. And, you know, we've sat here and we've talked to you about all this craziness that's going on in our world. The reason for the shutdown is this crazy virus that came out of China and has, you know, really altered the lives of so many. But, you know, we've talked about how you can protect yourself. We talked about different things. But you know what? There are things out there that you need to know about, because as a community, the more that we know, the more that we can actually get to the resolution. But I have a very special guest today, and we're going to be talking about a product that many of you saw some kind of negative press, if you will. President Trump took some heat about a week ago, and what that was all about is the press was saying that he was backing another spurious product. You know, he went through all the nonsense with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and zithromycin and so forth. Well, now we have a product that is a natural product, and the dogs of Hades have come down upon him again, saying that, you know, this is dangerous. It's a problem. But you know what? And what I know about this product, and we're going to talk about it in a second, we'll identify it, is that it has an impact like nothing I have ever seen and heard about. But you know what? I went to the source. So I have as a guest today the co-director and co-chairman of a company called Phoenix Biotechnological, and they've come up with a product. It's called Oleandrin. And we're going to talk about that, because this product seems to have an impact on this coronavirus, on this COVID-19, like nothing else I've ever read about. And we want to talk about it and how it affects it, because almost 100% application. But I'm not going to get into that deeply myself. I want to introduce my guest. This man is amazing, and we've gone back and forth relative to data. The network is significant, but I'm going to let him tell you about it. Andrew Whitney, welcome to the program.
Tom, it's wonderful to be here. I really appreciate it, and to have the ability to talk to you and your audience about what we've got here and the potential we think it has. Delighted to be here.
Andrew, your background is enormous. You know, you have postgraduate studies at Oxford. You've been in the business world forever. You've brought many products to bear, and just scratching the surface. But I'd like to get into what's going on with this product, this oleandrin, because it's an extract of the oleander plant, which we all know is a deadly plant. It can kill people. You know, so how does this have an impact on this COVID virus, this COVID-19, and other, my understanding is many other types of viruses that are similar, because we know the COVID virus is a coronavirus. It's an envelope virus, like a cold or flu or anything else. Wow. You know, let's talk about that just a little bit. What's happening? What's the real story behind it?
Well, thanks for that question, Tom. First off, I've got to correct you on the mention of the other place. I came from Cambridge, and we don't mention the other place.
It's Cambridge.
We recognize that there has to be a couple of folks who can't get into Cambridge. But
okay.
Anyway, thanks for that opportunity. So we are Phoenix Biotechnology. We've been studying a particular plant and a molecule hidden within that plant for over 25 years. And we're a Texas-based company. And the plant we've been studying is Nerium oleander, commonly known as the oleander plant. And buried within that plant is a tiny molecule called oleandrin, as you mentioned in your introduction. It's a remarkable molecule, and we think we know more about it than anybody else on the planet after 25 plus years of research into this molecule. The way to think about oleandrin is the best analogy I can think of is a barrel of crude oil. You can If you take the barrel of crude oil, you can't run your car safely or effectively on that. But if you know, if you have the know-how, the expertise, and the high-precision equipment, you can extract a fraction called gasoline from within that barrel of crude oil that you can safely and effectively run your car on. So the way to think about it is there's a tiny fraction within the oleander plant called oleandrin. And that's the molecule of interest to us. Now, it is true that that the oleander plant is quote-unquote poisonous, and we certainly wouldn't advocate running out into your backyard and munching handfuls of leaves. Like a lot of natural products, you know, it can have a toxic effect if you overconsume it. You can, of course, say the same thing about nutmeg, rhubarb stems, menthol, alcohol. You know, we're surrounded by things in everyday life that are, in fact, toxic if you take them in the wrong dosage. Lots of people use Botox now. You know, radiation therapy, you know, it's commonly used, and yet obviously it has highly detrimental effects if you, if it's not used within the appropriate guidelines. So there's lots of things to think about other than the headline narrative that just says, oh, it's a toxic plant. Deep down within that plant is a tiny molecule called oleandrin. And the reason we started to research it is because we discovered that it had important properties in treating cancer. And we've seen some very, very encouraging signs in the cancer work. But in the course of the cancer work, we also discovered that it had important antiviral properties. And that's where the story started to get really interesting.
No, so when you're dealing with a product that has a potential that you're beginning to just even touch on the surface with on the program right now, but, you know, you mentioned, you know, many different elements, nutmeg, you know, my listeners are sitting, nutmeg is dangerous. Well, yeah, it is. And if you eat too much of it, it's going to cause a problem. Botox, the same thing. It can cause deterioration of neural synapses within the brain. But here's the situation with this product. Was it found serendipitously, or was there a reason that the oleander plant was investigated? What was the initiator? How did it come about?
In the beginning, when Phoenix got going on this, the company was looking at a range of different botanical extracts as solutions for major disease conditions. And this was one of the plants that the company took a real interest in, and the results were really quite remarkable, very promising indeed. And as a result of a great deal of research effort by an excellent team of professionals who've been working on this for 25 plus years, as I pointed out, the company started to actually just move ahead on productizing some of these applications. And that, in fact, Tom, it led to taking the compound through human phase one and phase two clinical trials to establish safety in humans and approximate dosage for a particular cancer therapy application. So this has already gone through human phase one and phase two safety trials, and all that's published information.
You know, we've had all kinds of pullbacks on many different products, and there's an underlying agenda, my opinion, that, you know, this all leading to billions and billions of dollars in corporate profits. We're seeing every major pharmaceutical research company throughout the world is grabbing a hold of this vaccine scenario, if you will, that's moving down the pike. Virginia, where I practice, the health department now is saying that they will mandate vaccinations once they come out for everybody, 100%, and they're getting rid of religious exemptions and things of that nature. So, you know, I have a large listenership, as you know, and there's going to be a political battle, war, if you will, that once that comes about. But setting that aside and realizing that there's an agenda that is not supportive to people's health, and we won't get into the intimacies as I have in different programs. Why is it that, you know, this product is not being utilized? Why is it that people are pushing away with it? Because, one, you've already mentioned it's very safe. It's in the extract and the dosage that it's in, it does no harm. My research shows that there's very little to worry about, that there's no recorded side effects. But in fact, the clinical return on this is enormous. What studies have been done that support your statement that, you know, this is effective and safe?
Great question, Tom. So so to follow on from your previous question, which I realize I didn't quite give you a full answer on. So we were doing the work on the cancer side, and we made this serendipitous discovery that there was an antiviral effect. And everyone was quite surprised by that. That led to some groundbreaking work with the likes of MD Anderson and the U.S. Army's infectious disease lab at Fort Detrick in Maryland. And we ended up looking at a number of different viruses and seeing the same effect over and over again. With Fort Detrick, for example, we looked at Marburg and Ebola, two viruses to which there is no known cure.
Very deadly.
And we found, and this is, you know, in vitro laboratory-based work, so we found that there was a massive reduction in viral infectivity in both cases. And this was quite an eye-opener. We then saw that in a number of other viruses, and we developed a hypothesis that we call the envelope hypothesis. As you probably, you and your viewers know, there's a class of viruses called envelope viruses where you've got essentially an RNA strand inside a glycoprotein wrapper. And what we found was that the glycoprotein wrapper was incomplete in the virus progeny when our compound was present, and that this somehow led to a massive reduction in viral infectivity. Now, it could be that another mechanism is at work in the presence of our compound, and one of the consequences is an incomplete viral envelope. And the other mechanism is responsible for the massive drop in viral infectivity. Regardless, this is what we see. So we thought, well, if it seems to have this effect on a number of envelope viruses we've looked at, why couldn't it also work on coronavirus, which is an envelope virus? So we were fortunate enough to convince the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston, that's UTMB Galveston, to give us an opportunity to test against COVID-19. They are the World Reference Center on emerging diseases and arboviruses, and they were the first in the US to sequence COVID-19. So it was tremendously good to have the opportunity to work with them. Long story sideways, Tom, they ran the analysis and had to rerun it multiple times because the results were quite dramatic. We saw a 20,000-fold reduction in viral infectivity in the first 24 hours.
20,000% and the inability of the virus to duplicate.
It's actually more than that. It's not 20,000%, it's 20,000 times. So it's a huge reduction in the virus's ability to be infective. And the way they do this, they will use monkey liver cells in trays. They'll introduce the virus into the plate that's got our compound in, and then the control plate, and then ultimately draw off the virus progeny and put them on new plates of vero cells, monkey liver cells, to see what happens. The viral infectivity of the cells that had been treated with our compound was 20,000 times less. Mm-hmm. So this is a remarkable reduction. So we thought, well, again, it's only a lab-based experiment, but it's from a very prestigious institution, and it's highly indicative of something very positive going on.
So it's effectively the virus kills itself. And I want to get into that a little deeper, and I want you to explain. I want to go back to the glycoside pathway as well. But we're coming up to a break. We have to take a minute for our sponsors. So this is an amazing interview. You know, I'm excited about the product. We've seen anecdotal applications and studies across the board. We're going straight to the horse's mouth, if you will, and we're going to explain what this all can mean to all of us, and perhaps opening up this craziness once and for all and eliminating getting back to normal. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rizal Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, and this is a very special program. It's one of that's going to kind of everybody's going to hear about it, and we're going to get all kinds of emails and questions. But you know what? It's not going to be about me. I have as an amazing guest, Andrew Whitney, who is the co-chairman and director of an amazing group of people, Phoenix Biological Laboratories. And again, Andrew, welcome to the program. And let's get into this a little bit deeper. We're talking about a product that has developed over a period of a lot of years now. And it seems to have, as you said, a profound impact on the ability to get rid of this major problem that we're all suffering from, this COVID-19. Let's get back into it a little bit. I want to ask you, you mentioned in the first part of the program that this virus, like several other viruses that we've called enveloped viruses, has a glycoside pathway that is a protective pathway, and it works to be able to control this thing. You have to be able to break down, get into transport, if you will, into this into the cell by getting through this glycoside pathway. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? Because there's a lot of articles. There's one that that was very interesting in PubMed, but I'm going to let you handle it.
Sure. No, thanks, Tom. So as I was saying, so essentially we've got this great work done at UTMB, one of the leading academic research institutions in the country. We already knew from the cancer work we'd done, it had gone through phase one and two clinical trials for safety in humans, and we had an approximate dosage. So we're sitting there saying, okay, well, if it's safe and we've got this incredible in vitro data, then this is starting to create a very interesting positive picture. So we thought we've got to take this forward. So cut to the science again and looking at the method of operation. So we talked a little bit about the incompleteness of the glycoprotein wrapper and the presence of our compound. We think that's part of it. You've touched on another part as well. And for some of your more technically minded listeners, there's a cellular entry pathway called the sodium potassium ATPase pump, and cardiac glycosides, of which oleandrin is one, play a very important role in that cellular entry mechanism, that pathway. And so we know there's an effect there, and it's likely that it's quite profound. And I think you alluded to in your introduction just now the fact that yesterday, in fact, the NIH published a very interesting paper on exactly this. They've essentially validated the point we're making by saying that cardiac glycosides could play a very interesting and important role in the treatment of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. So it's great to get that kind of validation out of the NIH, you know, particularly given some of the barrage we're seeing in the press for having the temerity to produce what might be a solution. So I think it is important that we say at the outset here, look, we know it's safe in humans, and because we've already done the phase one and phase two human clinical trials for safety on the cancer application, same compound. We've done this great work with UTMB. We've got other folks we're working with that are doing the same work with us for confirmation. We've also got very interesting anecdotal human data that we've shared with the FDA. We just can't get into that right now. So we know there's real promise here, and we're extremely excited about the potential. The great part about all of this, Tom, and this is what's just so important to you and your listeners and the people you work with globally, is that this is a natural botanical. It comes from a plant that is native to America, that we have extensive supplies of, and we can make it available to people right now. The only reason we aren't already doing that, of course, is we've been in the process with the FDA since March. So we have to jump through all these hoops and dot the I's and cross the T's and send in all the bits of paper they've asked for. So we're diligently going backwards and forwards in that process, while at the same time, you know, conscious of the need to remind people that in the last 2 months alone, more Americans have died of COVID-19 than the entire capacity of Madison Square Garden. And I think the total since March, when we started knocking on the door of Washington, D.C. in the process, it's more than 160,000 Americans. So we recognize the need for process. Safety is absolutely paramount. Obviously, we had a great starting point to begin with because we'd taken the compound through phase one and two human clinical safety trials already.
Andrew, we're going to have to get back there. We're coming up to a break at the bottom of the hour, and I want to get into, and there's several other questions that I know that our listeners are going to want to know, and we have a broad base out there listening to us right now with a lot of people going, oh, my God, you know, why isn't this out there now? And that's one of the questions I'm going to ask you. So we've got to come up to a break. My guest today is Andrew Whitney. He is an amazing information source for all of us right now, and particularly in the times that we're living through, but we may have an answer and we're going to need all of your help, and we'll tell you about that later on as we go through the program. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is a very special program, and I have a very special guest today, Andrew Whitney, who is the co-director and co-chairman of an amazing company, Phoenix Biological, out of the Southwest area. But you know what? What we're talking about today is not about the company. It's not about anything. It's about this COVID-19 that's destroying our world, destroying our society, and locking us all down and making life miserable. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Dr. Tom Rozelle talking, you're seeing all kinds of set-asides. You're seeing, thought process of maybe this will work and maybe that'll work. But it's saying, no, we got to wait till the vaccine comes out. And as soon as the vaccine comes out and everybody gets vaccinated, we get back to normal. Well, you know how I think, and that the body has the innate capacity to do a lot of different things, and nature provides the answers all the time. We're talking about a product today, the oleandrin, that has been researched now for 25 years. It comes from the oleander plant, and we know that the oleander plant is deadly. But in this particular scenario, what we've noticed and what apparently has been researched, that in a diluted version, you have a product that will stop this COVID-19 in its tracks by stopping its ability to replicate itself by 20,000 times within a matter of hours. Andrew, welcome back to the program. Let's get into it. I'm so excited, and we have listeners probably right now saying, oh, my God, why isn't this out here now? Recently, you were able to have an audience, if you will, with Dr. Ben Carson, and he presented it to the task force and so forth. And then President Trump got involved in this, and then the media immediately went after him and shut him down. Give us a little background on that. What happened, and why are they so resistant? Why are they pushing away like this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Tom. So we had this data from UTMB with a 20,000-fold reduction in viral infectivity. And again, that's lab-based, but it's powerful. So we were able to bring this to the attention of Dr. Ben Carson, thanks to a great friend of mine and our business, Mr. Mike Lindell of My Pillow fame, who's been friends with Ben Carson for a long time. And so we were able to brief Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, like everybody else on the coronavirus task force, which he is on, is receiving hundreds and hundreds of proposals of things that could be the answer every day. But he looked at the data we had and he found it compelling, sufficiently compelling to take a deeper dive. And you can imagine, the guy's got better things to do than waste his time on a bunch of quacks or kooks. So we had compelling UTMB data. We had one of the country's most preeminent medical professionals, the ex-head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Ben Carson, actually look through this. He then brought it to the coronavirus task force. And as a result of that, we ended up having the opportunity to brief the President of the United States about it. So it's been a remarkable opportunity to do that. In parallel, I must emphasize that we've been in the FDA process since March. So we've diligently followed that process, dotted every I, crossed every T, jumped through all the hoops. But the thing is, Tom, we've got to look at, you've got to judge a process by the output. In the last 9 months of unlimited power and resources, there's not been a single approved treatment, drug, cure, remedy, other therapeutic or vaccine of any kind. Not one. So on that basis, how can it be perceived negatively if somebody comes along with compelling data from UTMB, with the likes of Ben Carson having had a look at it, and you know, and having gone, you know, spent this many months in the FDA process? You know, we've all got better things to do than push nonsense. On top of all of this, as you know, we have compelling anecdotal data too.
Yeah, you know as well as I do that anything that comes across the platform as being useful or reasonable or applicable from this administration or any of its committees is going to be put down by the press, because unfortunately they're not being given a straight across the board honest ability to present anything, and particularly in this situation, and it's very unfortunate. But let's, you know, President Trump took a tremendous amount of heat, and it was all over the social media and networks and so forth, and another spurious application of something that's going to kill people, because this oleandrin, being the extract of the oleander plant, can deadly, and it's got side effects. But as we talked about earlier in the program, it doesn't. It doesn't have the side effects. You've had a tremendous history and research in this product, and it blows my mind that it's not out there being used across the board for a lot of things, and going back and using the term an enveloped virus. For our listeners, I'm going to explain it this way. It's an enveloped virus analogy would be the same thing as a Lyme patient having a biofilm problem. So you got to get through the biofilm to go after the Lyme bacteria. But this envelope pattern has to be penetrated, if you will. We talked about it a little bit earlier to get into it. And this, in fact, does that. The cardiac glycosides that we talked about early on the program is what allows that to take place. Is that correct? Or am I shooting off the wrong foot at this point?
No, I mean, there's a number of elements in that, Tom, and they're all correct. They're all valid. Obviously, we're understanding the science as we go here. But what we can tell you definitively is this product is safe because we already took it through phase 1 and phase 2 human clinical safety trials per the FDA's regulations for the cancer application. We know it drives a 20,000-fold reduction in viral infectivity of COVID-19 in a laboratory setting. As of yesterday, the NIH has published a paper on the tremendous potential of cardiac glycosides, of which this is one, in treating SARS-CoV-2. So the science and the validity is there. You know, what's shocking, though, was the media blowback, this coordinated negative invective that came our way at the same time, and a whole multitude of different publications and media channels accusing us of pushing something unsafe, not following process, with no grounds for any kind of potential of efficacy. Well, we have all three. It's very clear. Anybody who does a modicum of internet research can see the published papers on the human clinical trials, safety trials. So that's all out there. It's published. It's in the public domain. The efficacy, well, now you've got the NIH publishing papers about that as well. And plus UTMB, a phenomenal institution, the likes of Dr. Ben Carson having seen it. You know, people have got to understand there's a pattern here. This is credible, and it's worthy of further study, and that's all we're asking for from the FDA. They have to grant us a number that allows us to carry out tests in hospitals in a supervised environment. If there's nothing to this, if it's really so ridiculous, then why not call our bluff and just let us test it? And if it's so ridiculous, this silly botanical or whatever they want to call it, dangerous botanical, then why the massive media furore? Why so much coordinated panic among these media channels? What I'll tell you is this, Tom. To take a toxic dosage of our product, you would have to take 600 doses of it at the same time and drink an entire pint of coconut oil. How much you would have to take to be toxic. By comparison, 15 servings of nutmeg, you know, a serving is a quarter of a teaspoon, by the way. So next time you go to Starbucks, be careful. But yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing is, when we did our human clinical trials, safety trials, we found that we could go all the way up to 16 times the proposed dosage before you got even any cardiac arrhythmias. To put that in perspective, it's the difference between 70 mile an hour on the freeway and 1,120 mile an hour on the freeway before you're even clipping wing mirrors. Another way of considering it is perhaps simpler is, when was the last time you took 16 ibuprofen or Vicodin tablets at the same time? Who does that?
Yeah, it's not happening.
No.
Not even a little bit. You know, I've spent my career in a natural environment and trying to get people off of things that do damage. And based on everything that I've read, everything that I've heard about with this product and talked to some of the people that are involved, there's virtually no side effect that is known. And I say virtually because, you know, I'm giving everybody that little wiggle room. But the truth of it is, there's nothing there. It works, and it works amazingly effectively. The studies that you're referring to through NIH can be found in PubMed. And so if you all want to find out about it, just go in and Google PubMed. You may have to register to join to get into it, but these articles are really supportive and fantastic. Andrew, with this, we got some time left in the program, and there's several things I want to ask you. One is, since this is a natural product, but in this situation, we're using it as in a medicinal format to get rid of something specifically. Is there a pathway to open the door as a nutraceutical, something that is, you know, used like any other homeopathic, any other nutritional product, something of that nature that can be used supportively, you know, with the disclaimer that, you know, this is not meant to do whatever, but it's there. Here's the research studies, you know, buyer beware.
That's a really interesting point, Tom. So, no, absolutely. I mean, we believe this could be the first time in modern history that a botanical solution could resolve a major global pandemic. We think there's really tremendous potential here. We want the opportunity to prove that. We've gone through the FDA channels, as I've told you. We're still in the process of doing that. But at the same time, as you and your listeners know well, when you have something that's of entirely natural origin, you do have the option to create a dietary supplement or nutraceutical version of it. So that's something we're actively looking at now, because it will enable us to bring this to people. It's not an FDA regulated product. And so we're actively looking at that. Now there are some important caveats there. You can't use words like treatment, drug, or cure. Correct. If you're going to market a dietary supplement or nutraceutical. So if we were to launch something, you won't see us saying anything along those lines. But nevertheless, it's important when there's something that we think could help people, clearly it's something we'd want to make available. And so, you know, we'd certainly welcome feedback and ideas and opportunities to work with proponents in this field, because I know there's a great many important exponents of the integrative field in your listenership and your viewership. So we definitely we'd embrace ideas and input from that community, because we know they tend to think about things in a broader fashion and also understand the inherent validity of some of these natural God-given propositions. You know, I believe we live in this golden era of innovation right now, where a lot of great ideas are emerging into industries from kind of outside the system across multiple industries. There's lots of people popping up and just changing industries right now, and they're often industry outsiders. So I'm excited about that, and I really think this could be the moment that natural products break through, like the way the organic movement changed the grocery business as people Yes. shifted their priorities and perspectives from a health standpoint with groceries. I think this is the moment where the integrative community has been waiting for. You know, we'd welcome that support.
Well, when we get, you know, we're coming up to a break in about a minute, and when we get back into the last part of the program, I'm going to ask you how our listeners, who are, I can guarantee you've gotten thousands of heads bobbing and nodding right now, wondering, oh my God, what can I do to find out more about this? What can I do to help, you know, bring this to market? Who do I have to contact? Is this spurious? Is this the real deal? Because that's how our minds have been played with over the last, you know, 9 months now. We've been bounced back and forth like a ping pong ball. But nevertheless, this is a product that is natural. This is a product that has tremendous impact. It's shown itself now specifically over 25 years of research and application. It's something that we all need to be aware of. And the fact that, you know, when stuff runs up against a brick wall, it usually in my book tells me that there's something there that's legitimate, and you need to, you know, follow the money, and I think you get the answers. But we're coming up to a break. My guest today is Dr. Andrew Whitney. I keep wanting to call you doctor because you have more information than most. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you around the country that are listening to us on multiple platforms, we thank you, and particularly Armed Forces. Again, you know, you find us, and we're there to serve you. We give you as much data and feedback as we possibly can. We appreciate you, and thank you. My guest today, Andrew Whitney. He is the co-chairman and director of Phoenix Biological Research Laboratories, and we're talking about this amazing product, this oleandrin, that seems to have an impact on this COVID-19 by stopping its ability to duplicate itself 20,000 times within a matter of hours. And if you've been listening to the program, you, like me right now, you're going to be saying, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Andrew, I'm going to ask you a real quick question. We only have a few minutes left. How can our listeners get involved to help make this product available in the future? How can, you know, they update themselves relative to information? What do you suggest?
A couple of things, actually, Tom. I think that, first of all, your listeners and your the folks you interact with are some of the smartest guys out there in terms of just understanding the potential of these types of products. So they're going to have great ideas and things, and we would welcome, you know, all of that input, because, you know, you guys have been around the botanical space and the integrative space for decades. So we'd welcome that input, ideas, suggestions, and links from the community. Secondly, don't fall into the trap that the mainstream media is pushing on this. You know, you guys all know better than most the power of some of these propositions. Well, this is a really good one, and we've got validity behind it. FDA proof of safety in humans, UTMB data on efficacy. I mean, you know, keep an open mind, encourage others around you to keep an open mind, because it's quite clear the mainstream media is trying to shut us down on this, and one can only speculate as to that agenda. And then the third thing I would say is, you know, please follow us on Twitter. That's Phoenix Bio Inc. Phoenix Bio Inc. And also on Facebook, Phoenix Biotechnology Inc. If you look for us. And then also our website is www.phoenixbiotechnology.com. That's all one word.
You know, this is the time that you have to take action. We have to get behind this laboratory. We have to talk about the things that are out there. You can make your own decisions, as always. My job is to give you as much information as we possibly can. Andrew, I don't know where to start to say thank you very much for the work that you're involved with and trying to bring this product to market, because we've get this thing where it needs to be. We're going to save tens of thousands of lives potentially as this virus begins to mutate. And, you know, everybody's being scared right now saying the second wave is coming. Well, you know, of course, any viral pattern gets worse in the wintertime because the sun goes away and things begin to change and people eat too much junk and their immune system gets kicked because of that. So they're much more susceptible in the wintertime than they are now. Having said that, let your friends know that, you know, about this program. You can find it on all of our platforms. Andrew, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time to shedding a light on a very, very important subject. And we definitely would love to have you back again, you know, going forward. Keep the work going. And if anything that I can do to help you, this program can do to help you, our listeners, we're going to make sure that they have the opportunity to reach out. This was way too short. There were so many other things I wanted to bring on the platform, but alas, we can't do it.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show. You've been a terrific supporter of our work. You've taken great interest from the get-go, and you also know a great many things that we haven't been able to tell the audience today about it. So I'm definitely looking forward to coming back on the show as some of those things that that you're aware of start to develop, and we can talk to your audience about those too.
And we'll make it happen hopefully sooner rather than later. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We'll be back next week. And any information you need, get a hold of us. And remember, we do this for one reason only. We love you.